Blog Talk Radio.
Let me take you on a
say good morning, and let the church say amen. It's one of those good mornings, because you're above ground, folks. You're here, present, you're literate. I'm back on the air after a long and extended break. I haven't done any of my shows for nearly 2 years. For those of you who don't know, and I see a caller there, I had several formats over the years. Real Talk, Real Game, Marty Smith Show, GRX Live was my partner, Gospel Edition, Sports Edition. I just jumped all into it. But on Sundays, I do like to cover certain ministers that bring a particular type of, I would say, anointed word. Many of them are here in the L.A. area. Some of these churches are go back to the 1800s. Some of the original AME churches founded during slavery. And that's African Methodist Episcopal, if you didn't know. So I tap into some of those. And then I go back and forth some tracks. Every so often, I actually may bring a sermon. But today I'm not going to probably sermonize, because yesterday I had a really good show out of nowhere. Just pulled it out of the top of my hat. I want to thank Pastor Dunn and all those folks for calling in and helping support that. And we create good energy, and the discourse was largely about what the hell is our problem and why we keep doing the same thing and getting different results, and no results. The same results is no result. The different result is no result. We're not making progress. And I found it quite interesting that after I get off the phone, I end up in an argument with the guy who's making it happen over, I would say, probably both our egos and testosterone. That's how I characterize it. But it was pointless, because it actually, I woke up in the middle of the night, because we had an earthquake last night, early this morning. So I popped up, and my body always senses the earthquake before it happens. Everyone, I will pop up right before it happens. So I popped up, and I could not go back to sleep. And then all I heard was Reverend Green in the back of my consciousness. And he was basically saying, stop doing the same thing and expecting different results. Not going to happen. So I find myself repeating some of the same ignorant-ass black male patterns going back and forth with his brother after the show yesterday for no good reason. And so then I was like, you know what? I know me, and anybody that knows me, like, I don't argue. I do not argue. I don't keep going back and forth, and that's why I don't be out in the streets no more, because I've been took flight. And with the things that burden me every day, because I have to be responsible for things at a higher level right now, I just don't do regular security. I do a lot of executive stuff, or I'm armed, and I have to have a mental focus, so I just stay out of conflict. I don't care what it is. Females, men, arguing with the homies, none of that shit. I don't do none of it anymore. And that was the reason why I just got off the phone yesterday. Now, something said, well, go back into your old pattern, just suck it up. The hell with this show. Don't even get on the air today. That was one of my resolves. But something said, don't do that either. Just keep on keeping on. And so we're going to keep on keeping on, and we're going to move the show forward. And 602, if you got something to say, you can go ahead and chime in before we get to the next minister. And that minister is coming up probably in the next 5 minutes.
Amen, amen, amen. Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm happy that you're back on the air. the world was missing you. The world is hurting. We have to help those in need. We have to help those in need. One more time. We have to help those in need. We can't be pastors, leaders, preachers, and none of that while helping those in need. And we need you to bring your spirit, your vibrance, your energy to this platform. This platform will not work without your participation. It's not just listening, it's interacting. So this is a proactive show. I know Marty Mark very well. We go way back. But it's time for us to get out of our coronavirus and get into the virus of God. And that's it. That's all I got to say.
I like it. let's all become viral with the word and spread that. Let's spread that. Spread the virus of the gospel. That makes a whole lot of sense. Because you know what? At least God gives us the ability to, in the moment, to say, well, you know what? All that shucking and jiving and arguing back and forth, that's foolish. We don't need all that. Let's go on and build. And I think that's really where I came to heretofore yesterday, between today and yesterday and today, because it really, one of my frustrations with doing these shows from way back was the fact that I couldn't get any type of depthful analysis out of people. People had their own opinions about everything, but their opinions is fine. They're like buttholes. Everybody got one and they all smell. But at the end of the day, it's what you are actually doing. So when the brother from Sacramento was talking about the logistics of things, the actual pragmatism, pragmatic stuff, I mean, you know, we can all say, well, I'm successful because I did it my way. And you know, if you want to be successful, you need to do exactly what I'm doing and this, that, and the other, or swag a finger at somebody or look down through your nostrils. That doesn't really pay the bill, so to speak, because as you've seen just in the last 5-10 years, actually the last two, just dealing with the coronavirus and people and politics, people are succeeding in ways in which they never thought that they would have to, and but they're making it happen.
Amen.
Okay, they didn't let the coronavirus or the Trump virus or the foolish virus or the riot virus affect them to a point where they just gotten downtrodden and quit. I have seen, even in these homeless communities right here, where they actually are coalescing and coming together under a common umbrella just so they can exist in a community. So I have seen some shifts in behavior, street behavior, where they actually are cleaning up after themselves now. They're not necessarily just pissing in the street. They're not just leaving their trash out. They're actually organizing and cleaning up and doing all that. And some of this might be the result of, if you didn't know, in L.A. now, we're criminalizing homelessness and you can't sleep here and you can't sleep on this. But they're not providing anything in terms of options for these people. We have what's called the mini houses, but I think that that's just a little ploy. Those houses ain't no bigger than two closets put together. And they offer probably less room than some of these folks staying in their cars. So on one level, I don't think that solves the problem. It addresses stuff, but all I'm doing is giving you all these houses is like piano keys right next to each other. So it's just opened up out toward Pasadena just 2 days ago. And I know how it is, you know, the archy-farcy left-thinking community is like, oh, yeah, we're really doing something. We're really helping the people. All you're doing is putting them into a house the size of two caskets thrown together. And you're not really solving the issue because they're all grouped together. You know what I mean? You're going to end up with the same conditions as on the street. So waste management, this, that, and the other, walking outside to urinate as opposed to staying inside because the house is too small. Most of these people got so much stuff, they can't even fit it in their tents if they got a tent. So if they're going to bring all that into a homeless environment, these little mini homes, I just don't see that as a long-term solution to addressing the issue, because all of this is devoid of the mental health and the spiritual health issues that seem to affect everybody on all levels. And
Amen.
That's a simple statement for me to say, but I'm really saying that the reason why the authorities in Los Angeles want to cut back their resources because they never intended to fix the problem. So they need spiritual healing too, all these city councilmen and this, that, and the other. And our number one city councilman, everybody loves Mark Ridley Thomas. He just got indicted on FBI charges. So he's out the game. Okay?
Wow.
So I don't know what's going on out here. I do know that Mayor Garcetti is a failure, and we hope he takes his butt on to India and be Biden's ambassador, because he's been a terrible ambassador here. Promise after promise, going to fix this, going to fix that, and ain't fixed none of it. Furthermore, with regard to African Americans, we've lost Baldwin Hills, we've lost the Crenshaw District, and we're probably going to lose Inglewood, too. And Compton, by the way, it's going. I've been through Watts. They don't even look like us no more. So it is what it is, folks. But there is also beauty in this, in that there's something to pray for. You feel me there, Pastor?
Amen.
There's
100%.
There's a positive energy
deep,
that
man.
You can focus on. You see what I'm saying? So even though sometimes we can get in these little negative squabbles, this, that, and the other, or viewpoints about how faith works and how energy moves, at the end of the day, it's still a positive thing because we got a positive, unified outlook. We still know, you and I know where we got to go with this.
Amen.
It's common sense. We're going to bring you on here, 601. Tell us how you feel about this topic right now before we get to the pastor. All right. 601, you're live. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Speak to us.
This is Shelby.
All right, Shelby.
That's Queen Shelby. She's a queen. She got a story.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
We're great. We're
great.
Blessed to have you on the show. Tell us what's going on.
Straight out of Vosburg, Mississippi. I'm a new Southern Soul artist.
All right.
I'm just trying to do my thing. Trusting in God because I always put him first. And everything else is falling straight in place.
There you go, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you put that first, everything else falls in place. I used to worry about jobs, this, that, and the other. I don't do that no more. I just worry about making sure I'm aligned with my God.
Me too.
So what else is going on in Mississippi?
Not too much of anything. It's hot one minute and it's cold the next. And everybody's trying to live from one day to the next. It's all we can do.
Yeah,
you know, Mississippi is a very...
Yeah, I just left Alabama about 3 weeks ago down that way. And I'm probably going to be going back in another 4 weeks dealing with my folks. Okay. You know, what I have focused on down there is that there's been a change in the tide in the southern mindset of most of us African Americans. A lot of the hospitality that we used to invoke is going out the window through other trends and maladies of behavior is what I see. However, there is still something, again, to pray for in a focused, targeted manner. I have gotten to the point where prayer is probably the most advantageous way to reach people. Does that make sense? Because prayer is something that is very powerful, and it's out of sight, out of mind. You don't need to know I'm praying for you. And vice versa.
Exactly.
And if your heart is aligned, I can receive those prayers that you sent unbeknownst to me because my mind and my heart is right. And vice versa. So you're not rejecting good spirit and good energy. You're always open to it. That's how you know one is truly blessed, because you never have to do anything but what you just said, sister. Focus on him. Everything else falls into place. Am I right?
You are so right. My God, you are right. And he will make a way out of no way.
Oh, you're talking to someone who has who has enjoyed the way he's made out of no way, because I didn't necessarily know which way I was going. And rather than, like we tend to do, well, you know, I'll just figure it out as we go. No. God gave me a brain and a mind and a heart, and if I open it and if I read and I study and I operate not sight, it works out. It has. That's why I'm talking
Amen.
About.
Amen.
Yeah.
Simple as that. It has, and it does work out. So with that in mind, I do want to get into a little of this ministry, and you're going to hear him coming in the background. And if there's something that you want to comment about his ministry when we get him off, we're not going to listen to all of the church ceremony and the singing, but we do want to hear what he has to say. And I think you will find it rather timely and enlightening.
I will bless the Lord at all times, the psalmist said. But he was in the middle of the warfare. So God, we are in a warfare. Thank you for teaching us and letting us know that all things work together for the good. To those who love you, to those who are recalled according to your purpose. So Lord, if anyone does not know their purpose, may the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they may know the hope of their calling in Christ Jesus as we walk this earth, pilgrims through a barren land. Thank you for the gift of hospitality, the gift of wisdom and knowledge and administration, and the gift of helps. Help us and guide me to lead and to be hospitable to that foreigner who now resides with yours truly in a place who does not speak English. But thank you, God, that we are taught and you teach us that when we surrender, you release the gifts of language. Thank you for releasing Espanol en mío, por favor. Gracias, Dios. Bendito a Dios. Jesucristo. Gracias. So, Lord, now, as your spirit is present and moving, we watch and we wait. And we want to trust you because we sure can't trace you. Thank you for Pastor Tostel and his ministry. Continue to strengthen him and guide him and each other, deacons and trustees and nurses and doctors and first responders and ushers. Thank you for them. Lord, we love you. Thank you for comforting us, knowing that you are with us and guiding us. In the spirit of worship, we continue and give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. We are here to worship, and then we will depart to minister in the name of Jesus Christ, the live and tribe of Jesus.
I think he said exactly what we are saying. We are here for a reason, folks. And I couldn't have said it better. I hope y'all heard that.
Amen, amen.
It's amazing.
Amen.
It's amazing. Sometimes I get up here in L.A. and I tell you, it's almost as if those ministers, I know they know I rebroadcast their show. I know that. That info's gotten out. But sometimes I know that they are on me, because those sermons seem to be tailored for me. Okay.
Amen.
I've been doing this long enough to know. One minister went off about Samson one day, and about how all his hair fell out. And all this and this, fooling around with Delilah and this, that, and other. And that just happened to be right when I cut old girl loose. And I looked up in my hair one day. I looked up at on the mirror. I was doing some arm work, and I looked in the camera at the top of my head, and there looked like I was losing my hair, and which is kind of weird. And then I look again, and like there's a whole black spot in the middle of the crown of my head, and it looks like it's growing. So I started looking at it every week. Like, what? Damn, my hair growing. So I was at work, and I said to one of my coworkers, an older white dude, I said, bro, I think I'm going bald. He looked at the top of my head. He said, no, you're not. I was like, I said, something's up going on up there. Looks like the hair's coming back. He goes, it is. So when the minister kept talking about how Samson got his strength back after he just went on and got away from that bad energy, his hair grew back. So I can't say it enough that at that point when I'm hearing that, I felt so much better. I was kind of like had long COVID probably for the last year and a half, didn't know it. But my body shifted. Everything shifted. My mind got right. I didn't even feel angry about nothing no more. So I don't know. Sometimes you just got to know that there's a master plan, as we say, the Creator does have one, and it's working. Somebody chime in on that. Let me stop.
And let me grab the mic here. Your prayers you made when you were 5 years old, them prayers changed when you turned 30. But by having a heart for God, it never changes. So I say to y'all, you might not see the answer to your prayers today, but it doesn't mean that God didn't hear it and he's working on it. We have to be patient in God's timing, because when God brings that breakthrough, everything else is going to fall down, period.
I agree with that, but if you know something about me personally, patience is the virtue that I'm still working on. That's something, that's my faith walk. I'm working on patience. You know that.
Amen.
And that's something that I don't mind saying. I see 302 jumping on in here. I don't mind saying it because, like we were saying last night, either you working toward resolve and the bugs in your mind and all of the whatever, and the angst is the stuff you're still working on, or you settled in it and that's how you're rolling, which may not be the right way to address life in the
correct
first place.
100.
You've got to build your life before you can administer to another life. I always say this to my parents.
Amen.
You know, you can't piecemeal the love for your child. You need to love yourself, then it will extend. And so I can tell
it's
kind of like maybe not the best parenting skills, because you're not keeping yourself up. And you're getting worn down by the role or the title parent and the expectation.
Hey, I'm going to tell you like
sense?
This. I have three kids. I got one boy and two girls. And everything that I was doing with my son, who's 23, it's all changed. The world is different. We're on this pandemic, and we have to realize we live in reality, but we think in our thoughts about what it is to come. I say it to say, God is preparing you to be bigger. Just take the preparation, so when the war comes, you're prepared. If nothing else going to war, you ain't got a bulletproof vest on. You don't want to go out there and run in front of bullets. You know what I'm saying? It's going down every day, but it's all
going to
relieve.
I had to go relieve a guard last week, and I show up. I show up to the site, and it says, "Yeah, I'm supposed to be relieving an armed guard." I got my gun on me, and I'm looking for the armed guard I'm supposed to be relieving. And I see a guard. I'm like, "Am I relieving you?" Because the boss said it was an armed guard. He goes, "Oh, I left my gun at home." Well, bro.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, you know, this is
how you
this is not
somebody in your armed guard with no gun? Come on. That don't make sense.
Hey, this is a crazy, too. We are just taking over a cannabis dispensary.
Oh, my God.
And although it's in Hollywood, it's still a cannabis dispensary. And the way they were approaching it, like Hollywood snowflakes, they was on some, the community. I'm like, community my ass, you're going to get yourself killed out here with this little looseness y'all doing. And let's get it together. But my point was, you just said it. You got, what did we say yesterday? Imbue yourself in armor. of faith.
Correct.
You can't,
100%.
You know, Moses had a breastplate. 302, I see you out there.
Yes.
You got something to say about it? Remember, Moses had a staff and a rod. We talked about that yesterday. Recall? How we doing, 302? I see 302-613. Well, anyway, folks, I know you're doing fine because you tuned in.
Amen.
Right.
Some people want to be seen, not heard. They want to be in the audience, but they don't want to be a part of the video.
It doesn't matter to me either way because only thing I can see on the radio show is your heart. I cannot see
Amen.
Your being. Your heart
right.
will come through just like a smile will come through even if you got a mask on. So your heart will always come through. I am not, like I said, I'm weird, I guess. I never really wanted to make this like the Oprah Winfrey make money show type thing. I just was, felt like I got up one day and I was mad at something, and then I just never stopped getting energized about it.
Oh, God.
I did. That's what happened. I got mad about something. It was on KTLA. It was just some poor news that they were developing, and I just didn't like the way they were doing it, and it seemed like they were slighting the folks that it most affected. Like, oh, well, okay, yeah, well, you know, poverty as usual. Oh, they'll make it. Maybe they won't. You know, and I'm like, you know what? There's no heart here. There's no integrity. There's no passion to discern factual matter from the way I feel about a matter and present that as facts. You know, it's always something. Folks, do this real quick because one thing Pastor Don knows that I also do, okay, is disc jockey. So,
amen.
I think, Pastor Don, that I had one of your artists on my gospel show. What was that young man's
Kevin
name?
Kevin D is artist. He's a bomb artist. He's new to things.
You
got to
know
him. He's
giving him
some music.
Okay. Okay.
I'm dedicated
to everyone.
Everyone who made it.
Yeah.
Hopeless situation.
Now you have
a story. The angels can't sing in glory.
You're redeemed from the hands of the enemy. Yeah. Here we go.
Whether it's in the courtroom, fighting in the boardroom, trying to feed your family, kicked out underneath you.
God's able.
Biological brothers, meaning one of the daughters, one of the sons of Mary. Mary had sons and daughters other than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one begotten of God the Father. Others were by her husband, Joseph. And so he mentioned in Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, I have that in your introduction, and Mark chapter 6, verse 3, Judas is mentioned there. And it is this Jude that we know today as being this half-brother of Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 7, verse 5, we see that he did not believe that his half-brother Jesus was the Christ. And then we read, after having, after the resurrection, we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, that he does believe, he's converted. And that actually is the way of all Christians. There is first this unbelief, I'm not sure, this doubt. And then at some point there is a conversion. If you allow Christ to work in your life and hear what the scripture says and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, it actually leads to conversion. And that is indicated, as I said, in Acts 1:14. And also another indication is in Galatians 1:19. Is also referenced as one of the support scriptures regarding James, the other brother that Jude mentions here in the text at the very beginning. So I want to try to look at some of the things that Jude does. As I mentioned in your introduction, he is the first one in the New Testament that identifies Michael as the archangel. We see it later in Revelation, but Jude is the very first one of the epistle writers that identifies the archangel Michael. And of course, Michael's going to have significance in the latter days. He's the one that actually is assigned to the protection of the believers. And so although the Antichrist is going to reign and is going to have his way, there's still going to be an archangel assigned for our protection. My hope is that I'm already gone. I'm hoping that the rapture has come and that you and we've all been caught up in the air. But there are going to be some believers that are still going to have to go through some of the tribulation period. And Michael's job then is going to be part of that protection for them. So Jude gives us some insight.
As the minister talks about tribulation, it's like such a timely topic again, because it's a reflection of the fact that this is where we are. You're being tested. It's always a test. It's always going to be trial tribulation. It's what you do with that trial tribulation that is the difference between above ground and underground. And with the right mindset, even if you're underground, you need to be going to a higher place, right? You're traveling.
Hey, man. You gotta fight, man. This battle is not set for the people weak when they walk. This battle is set up for you to endure challenges, but to overcome those challenges through God, with your wisdom and faith, is going to push you through.
Amen to that. It looks as if, though, that what about the complexity of challenges? So, you know, I remember back in the day, I used to have to go to church all the time with my grandmother. And I remember a sister get up and she was part testimonial, but then she started asking God for a refrigerator. And then that went into next week we wanted a stove. And then it became, I'm not making this up, asking God during the testimonial for a man and this, that, and the other. Well, all those things are actually available, and I don't necessarily know if God wants you to have a refrigerator or not, or if you're ready to even receive a man, like one of my mentors told me once. He said, "Brother Smith, God brings all women, even the bad ones." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Because if you're dumb enough to go do the same dumb stuff you did when you had that bad one and repeat that, then, you know, you need to be tested. You got to keep on keeping on, right?" So the modernity of faith, meaning what people are currently practicing in their rituals or whatever, might not be hitting the mark, like Reverend Green was saying. Those practices that maybe we grew up with way back aren't really applicable to the faith journey that you need to be exercising. Am I making any sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I just get me caught out there on the island. Don't make me get out there on the island.
No. Marty, I got to say this. You don't drive 150 miles an hour without a seatbelt. At some point, you will have an accident. You're going to run into something. The seatbelt won't keep you safe. So you need to have the word of God bind in your heart, wrapped around all your decisions so you can make the right decision. It's not making the decision, it's making the right one. You can choose somebody, but if you choose the right one, you win, you live, you have a house, a car, and a life. But if you choose the wrong one, you find yourself homeless, broke, and upset. You can't be mad at God because your bad choices.
Wow, man. Wow, bro. You're saying what that actually those are the things that I do most out in the streets, counseling folks that are angry over life circumstances, but they are amiss with regard to how did they contribute to their own set of circumstances. And
amen.
Like Reverend Green was saying last night, you know, it's not difficult to open your heart and choose a better path. I don't want to be
correct.
I was listening to before I got on the show, I already listened to a sermon. And he was talking about churchifying as opposed to being spiritual or what we would like to interpret as truly Christian by being non-judgmental, this, that, and the other. But when you churchify stuff, you kind of put the Lord on everything and then you hold as a barrier over the worshiper or potential worshiper or pseudo-worshiper. This notion that he can never reach the high or she can never reach that high plateau, largely because of their own foul abilities and guilt sense nature.
Mm.
Most people don't realize that sin is a part of life. You are imbued
right.
with both good and negative energy. You have to sort through that, as Pastor Don is saying. But what I actually deal with grown folks too, older than me, who have given up an internal sense of light. Light meaning
amen.
Shines the way. It's in my mind. I know. It's in my mind. If I get up and I got to get to the corner and there's obstacles, just like this morning, I went to the store, came back, somebody decided they're going to park their truck in the middle of the whole street.
Oh,
it didn't
wow.
stop me. It didn't stop me. I had 7 minutes left to get on the show, to start the show. And these particular people, who happen to be black, were the same people when that pandemic hit. I think what was that? March 20th or something of 2020, and when they locked down California, they decided, and we couldn't get toilet paper and this and other. They decided to block my driveway, and I was trying to go out and get some toilet paper, some water, and this and other. And I'm like, you know what? And there's one brother who is always thumping the Bible, Lord. I'm like, your practices are not there, though, bro. Why are you blocking me? I didn't do nothing to you. And you're old enough to be my mother's older brother. This is food.
Oh, wow. Very much.
But that's what I get. You know, that's what you see. Well, it's a long time since I actually have attended a church service in presence, because you go through so much just trying to go hear the minister. I mean, good Lord, so many distractions in church. Folks are not properly, you know, I grew up in a time where you needed to adorn the Lord with clothing and robes, and, you know, you need to put your good hat on. And they coming like they just got out the club. Which is fine. We'll take you how you come, ladies and gentlemen. However, tuck it all in, homegirl. Tuck it all in, homeboy. Let's get it together. Let's present ourselves like we adorn the Most High. I just don't see a reverence in a psychology which focuses a light internally. It's in you. You're born with it in you, but they don't turn the light on. Am I making any sense?
Yes, you're making a lot of sense. And the biggest thing is you got a gift from God. The only way the gift works is if you feed it. You have to grow it like a tree. That's why they're planting the seed. Every time you crack the mic on a radio show, you crack the mic on a performance, people are watching and listening. They might not react, but they are seeing it. So while you deliver your message, be ready for the response. You can't deliver a good message and not have anybody respond because you don't know what it is until you say it. But once you say it, you're bounded by the universe, it's going to come to fruition. So you drive in your car, you ain't got no license. Oh, I hope all these don't stop me. I hope all these don't stop me. And when they stop you, you put the energy out there because you're saying you hopefully don't. So just as much as you will, you won't if you don't start somewhere.
Amen to that. It's almost, I'll use the NFL football analogy. Is if you're a running back and you're about to score, you should expect to get hit.
Amen. Right. There you go. There you go. That's a great analogy. I'm going to steal that one. I'm taking it with me. Pastor John Jr. is stolen from Marty Marr. I'm taking that with me. That's a great analogy. Because at the end of the day, everybody wants to score a touchdown. Don't nobody want to get hit. But you're going to have to get hit. People have to block.
Yeah.
He's going to have to get in your way. But at the end of the day, you're going to get the touchdown, but you have to be in the game to win.
And you should expect to get hit. And more importantly, you should focus your life and your mind to get your butt up after you got hit and keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
And score again. And then again.
Amen.
The whole objective is to win the game of life. You can win it several ways. One is to be present in the Lord. That's the best way. The other way is just to be a nihilist. A nihilist is, oh, well, whatever it is, whatever happens, whatever will be, a que sera, sera type logic. Well, I like to be in control if I'm the running back or the quarterback because I know I got the – win for the team. So I'm taking that fade for the team.
I got one thing to say and move out the way. I got to say this. How can you drive a car if you're not in the driver's seat? You can't drive a car from the passenger, from the back seat. You have to be in the driver's seat in control. And you are in control of your faith. You're in control of your life. But you give it away when you don't take control of your own actions.
That's deep there. That's deep there. Like I said yesterday, we were just talking about men, but a lot of people don't want to be responsible in their own right. Whether you are a child, you don't want to be responsible for what's right or wrong. If you're an adult, you don't want to be responsible for the direction that you should take over in your life to align you with higher values and a greater outcome. A lot of folks don't understand that the outcomes of life have a lot to do not with random choices, but things that you decide and you implement to move it forward. It's like you, like we say, pay it forward. Well, you're paying your life forward. You know, when you pay your life forward, everything gonna work out like the sister was saying. All you gotta do is put that light on.
But
no light,
I feel like this. Don't let nobody
could
take control for you. When you got every opportunity to win, don't let nobody else stand in the winner's circle getting the championship, the gold medal, when you were supposed to get the gold medal. That's your gold medal. Don't let nobody in your position when you have an opportunity to do it for yourself.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. And that is the reason we take control in these shows. Listen to this, man.
Amen.
I'd probably just be in the mirror all day long. No faults and no flaws. You're going to be glorious. You're going to be perfect. And this is what Jesus Christ does for us. Paul says it is for the perfecting of the saints. It's making us better, making us the very best we can be. That's who Jesus Christ is. That's what he does for us. He perfects us. And then he's going to present us faultless and flawless before the throne of God and say, God, this one has accepted me as Savior, and now they are part of the family. And all the angels in heaven are going to shout hallelujah Another person is coming to the family of God. Hallelujah.
We, I guess 6 years ago now, we had our first grandson, and I remember when he was born and counted all the things that we told him, make sure everything was there, and it said, hallelujah, because God added another addition to the family. And that's what God does, that's what Jesus Christ does when he presents us before the Father. He says, Father, this one has been brought into the family, hallelujah.
The scripture says it this way, just says, with great joy. This is what Jesus Christ does for us. He presents us with great joy.
Well, let me get to the last thing, and I will be finished for today. It says, verse 25, and this is the fourth part of the outline, to the only, and I like to put the only wise God, I like how the King James Version puts it, the only wise God, our Savior, who the one that saves. Now, it gets a little technical here, and again, I told you Jude had some issues about being a part of the canon, because this is one of the verses that some Christians had struggled with, because it refers to God as the Savior, and most of the time it refers to Jesus Christ as the Savior. Well, Jude says it actually is God the Father that saves, but he saves through his Son, Jesus Christ. Only God saves. But he saves, he is chosen to save through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ, the one that died for our sin. And if we didn't have that sacrifice, we wouldn't be eligible to be saved. So it says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, power and authority through, somebody say through. That's how we get it. We get it through Jesus Christ. That's why we honor and praise the name of Jesus Christ, because that's our only way through. You can't get through any other way. The way through into the presence of God is through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he is now the one that makes salvation available to us. It's through Jesus Christ. And he becomes our Lord. And so Jude is very technical in saying, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Jesus Christ must be the Lord in your life. Like a landlord, the landlord has a final say what they're going to do with their property or whatever. Well, Jesus Christ, you become God's property. And Jesus Christ has a final say. He actually is the landlord. He's the one that died for your sin. He actually is the one that owns who we are. And when we accept that and acknowledge him as our Lord, then he actually becomes the one that presents us before the throne of his grace. And when we don't accept him, then there's no presentation to the throne of God the Father. The only way you get to be presented to God the Father is through his Son, Jesus Christ, and that Christ must be your Lord.
Speak.
We have to voluntarily make him Lord of our lives.
Wow.
I want to close by saying this. For him to be the Lord of your life, the way he becomes Lord of your life, is that you have to be convinced, convicted, and converted that he is able to deliver you out of every situation. I'm glad that I am certain, if I don't have nothing else I'm certain about, I'm certain that my God is able. He's able to wipe the tears from my eyes. He's able to pick up my bowed down head. He's able to heal my body when it's sick. My God is able to save my soul from death. My God is able to deliver me out of all kinds of troubles and weaknesses. My God is an able God. And the whole Bible is a testament to God being able. He was able to deliver Daniel out of the lion's den. He was able to deliver the Hebrew boys out of the fiery furnace. And our God is able to deliver us. We got an able God.
Doesn't matter what your problem is. God is able. He's able. He's able. Our God is able. That's why I love him. That's why I serve him. That's why I'm determined I'm going to be with him. I know he's able. He's able to what? Able to do whatever you need done. He's an able God. Our God is able. I'm going to stop right there. Will you stand with me? Maybe somebody here today.
It couldn't have been better said. It was as if he was listening to Pastor Don and picked up right there, able, willing. There's only one way to get there. I listened to Minister Farrakhan one day. Sometimes I track what he's saying. And he did something that a lot of folks don't know where his true faith is. He opened up a Bible, and then he started talking about Muhammad is the messenger. However, to get to the higher place, it has to be through the Magi, and he was referring to Jesus. And then he went into the scripture and basically cited what this minister just said. And then I was like, most folks have gotten this Brother Farrakhan on the wrong thing, because he actually is preaching the gospel. And if you listen in totality to that particular sermon, he brings you right back to everything we're saying, what Minister Farrakhan was saying. It's like, you're going to have to, certainly we believe in that Quran and its inspiration. However, you need to, in the other hand, preferably the left hand, pick up the Bible so that you can thumb through it with your right hand. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm. Makes plenty of sense.
Makes plenty of sense. And it actually is a working sense. I used to deal with a lot of ministers and pastors because as a Freemason, we used to have our own church ceremony. And so we would tour all the churches, all here in Southern California. I'd be me in every church, every minister just about, particularly the Baptist ones. And then I started to see some patterns. And being a former investigator, you look for patterns and ways. That's how I knew that Christ worked, because I saw patterns and waves in my own life where things was working in a pattern, and it was a wave of positivity as long as I believed and practiced.
Amen.
Which
there
meant
you go.
That I may have had to given up some of my passions to receive the light. Sometimes we think we got the light on and it's clouded because your own shadow is in the way. Your shadow's in the way.
Amen.
You get in the way of your own light. Am I making any sense?
Come
on
Shelby,
that?
Marty, Shelby is on the line. She's been here the whole show. We got to hear from her. She is a powerful, mighty woman of God. She's a vocalist. She got something to say.
Go for it.
I'm just listening this morning, so I'm going to start. If it's going on every Sunday, I'll be listening every Sunday. But this morning, I'm just listening, you know. I'm listening and I'm learning.
Yes, we all just students of the cloth. I am going to attempt to keep this up every Sunday. Sometimes my schedule affects me adversely, but I am actually in control of my schedule, so I may not book those gigs because I don't need the money. I prefer the light. So if I get more out of doing this than going, putting myself at risk for COVID at some NFL game or some whatever I'm doing that day. So, or concerts, whatever. A lot of that stuff, you know, you got to be careful with work. That don't necessarily serve God either. There ain't nowhere in that Bible that says you got to get up and go to work every day. It ain't in there.
Amen.
Look, it don't say that. It ain't in there. It ain't even a requirement.
Wow.
It's not in there. It may say you need to do good works. and works, but those are works of faith. Okay? Getting up and cutting your lawn ain't necessarily work. Chores aren't necessarily work. But going to that credit company and that financier and serving their devilish aims or packing people into a stadium, that's not, I mean, it's a nice idea. We make some money. We get to eat. But that's not the Lord's work.
Amen.
Is it?
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
I see you. I see you. 248. Now we got 928. Pastor Don, you're doing overtime today, man. You keep you just pushing them in. I'm
man, you know what I do when I come to the radio? I try to tell everybody this is where you need to be. Now, if you don't want to get in and get into the $1 million meeting, once you get $1 million, don't come talking to me about I need this. I need no. You wasn't in the meeting. You wasn't there when it was being planned. So don't come there when the performance decreased a result.
You just like me. That's how I way back in the day and when I was in the music industry. That's how I was. I always wanted to be in the initiation part. That's how I got successful, being in the planning, being there at the impetus of an idea, and bringing in good character and spirit to get something accomplished. Okay, it is difficult.
Keeping it real.
It's difficult to kind
I'm
of mitigate what I'm saying. But however,
I'm not going to lie to you, Marty. You're right. You're absolutely right, 100. If you're there with the planning, don't come when the progression happens. Come while we plan it so you can write me into the bill.
Right.
Yeah.
Anybody can come in once it's all set up.
Yeah.
But once it's being built, don't nobody want to go get the lumber, the nails, the wood. But once I got a house, don't come ask me to stay with me when you couldn't help me build the house. That's not fun.
Yeah. You're so right
I'm
on that.
I'm on a sweaty Arizona sun. It's 117 degrees. I'm knocking nails in. Now I done built this house. It's all pretty and beautiful. You just want to move in. Hell no. I'm not having it. If you're not going to help me build the house, you ain't real there.
Brother, you're so correct. You got to get in on the initial stages. I see 248 and 928. Welcome to this show. This is called Gospel Edition. I'm the host, Marty Smith. If you didn't know, I actually have a ministerial certification. Sometimes I don't like to say that because then I feel like people are going to hold me to higher expectations. But we all
you can't hide that way. You can't hide it.
We all
can't hide it. Don't come out.
And we all working on something. So I appreciate
Amen.
You folks coming.
We all fall short. We all fall short of God's glory. We're only human.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, being
like
human is not
analogy.
An excuse. It's not an excuse. You got to run the ball. You got to run the ball.
You got to run
if
the
you're
ball.
Running back, you got to run the ball. Don't
back
get the word
Jesus
you with it.
To run
you got to apply it.
If you own Team Jesus, you got to run the ball, score, and expect to get hit. Okay, the devil
Correct.
Ain't playing. He's actually everywhere you trying to go, and he's waiting on you. He may be in the front row of the
Correct.
Church. He may be in the choir. He may be the guy pulling you over so that you can't get to church on time. He may be the neighbor blocking your way so I can't start the Gospel Edition show because when I send these notices out, I send out on my end, I blanket my contact list. And I, like I said yesterday, I expect none of them folks to call because they really go run from some common sense. But I do know that they're listening because they text me after you and I got off the phone and I have text after text after text. About who is this, what is this.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them didn't even know it was me. But it's all good.
Why?
Because the work is all good. I want y'all to listen to Pastor Bishop Blake here real quick for a minute.
And that comes to the believer. In John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And in John 6:63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. So the Holy Spirit imparts and implants the nature and the life of Christ in the believer. He sets the believer apart from the law of sin.
Amen.
And the law of death. The Holy Spirit enables the believer to fulfill the righteousness of God and confirms to us the completed work of salvation. When you really get saved, you don't need anybody to let you know you're saved.
Ah.
The Holy Spirit imputes to you and informs you.
So if you're really saved, folks, you don't need to get up in church and ask for a refrigerator. Right?
Right.
That stuff will come. I don't have to go losing my mind. I did this. I am a witness to this. Didn't know if I was going to have a job. Didn't know if I was going to have a work assignment. And that's one of the reasons why the devil got me from doing my shows, because the job, like I say, I send out notices, and them devils decided, well, we only going to book him on the days he was doing his show. Whew. So that did happen, Pastor Dunn, for a long time. So I wasn't able to keep that regular schedule. Remember, I used to always do something at 11:30? 11:30 every other day. Remember, that was my time. Just like yesterday, started 11:30 in the morning, that'd get me into the afternoon. But I had companies and people trying to pull me off. I would get phone calls from people I ain't talked to because, again, I send out blanket notices. One party tells another party, you know, he's about to be on the air. The next thing I know, I got 1,500 lowriders in front of my house bumping music, so I can't even produce my show. I can't even hear it. You know what I mean? Folks do all kind of devilment. But as Bishop Blake, and this is Bishop Blake from West Angeles. This is probably the second largest church in California.
Saved. But in baptism with the Holy Spirit, there's an impartation of power. And the one who receives it is fitted for service. And Jesus said in the text verses, John 14:16, I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, and he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. They knew the Holy Spirit, but they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was with them, and even in them, in a measure, but not in the fullness. And let me inform you that the Spirit has been received and dispensed in varying portions and measures down through history. In Numbers 11 and 17, we read about the Mosaic portion of the Spirit. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will come down and talk to you there, and I will take of the Spirit that is upon you and will put the same on them. They shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it alone. And verse 25 says, then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke with Moses and took of the Spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. Moses was adequately empowered for the task. But when these 70 elders were called forth to share in his responsibility, they were given a measure of the Spirit that had been upon him. And then in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9, we read about the Elijah portion of the Spirit. And the Bible says, and so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you? And Elisha said to Elijah, please, let a double portion of your Spirit be upon me.
Double.
And Elijah said to him, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. And God honored Elijah's word and granted to Elisha a double portion. of the Spirit of the Lord. It was John the Baptist who received an Elijah portion of the Spirit. For in Luke 1:15, he said, "For he will be great in the sight of God. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink." That's good advice. "He shall also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the children of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord their God." John the Baptist.
Let me ask a question. This is something that I used to, way back when I used to take theology courses and stuff, that's one thing about me. I had no choice. I grew up with a Bible. But way back, I remember a professor, this is a question, this is a finals question. And the finals question was, how does a tree give honor to God? I open that question to y'all. How does a tree give honor to God?
It's a leaf. The way that a tree gives honor to God is a leaf because of the people that's growing in the faith. You have faith, and when you have that faith, it doesn't make sense to anybody else. But you being who you are, that faith will grow. And as it grows, it's like a tree. The leaves fall off, but the tree is still there. The faith is never going to leave, but things are going to come about in your everyday existence and lifestyle that's going to grow, and you will outgrow those things. That's what I feel. My personal belief, Pastor John Jr., CEO, I'm moving out the way.
That's actually pretty close to the answer that we ended up with. It further went into the how does a lion give honor to God? And the simple answer for the tree and the lion is by being a tree. That's his purpose. By being a lion, that's his or her purpose. So if your person, the question is going to turn, how does the individual give honor to God? It's beyond robes, showing up with a nice hat, your nice Brioni suit, this, that, and the other. It's beyond the ceremony and the ritual, lighting the candle and taking communion. It's really deeper than that. How does the human, how does the individual truly give honor to God? But before you answer, what if you're a non-believer?
Well, hold on. That's a loaded question, because you can't be a non-believer and give honor to God. You got to believe that he is real. You don't know how the sun rises or sets, but at the end of the day, it happens. So whether you believe or not, there's something that's more powerful, more in control of everything. We have to honor ourselves as people and know there's something bigger than us out there.
Well, this is one thing that I know, and you might want to put steal this one too. Whether you believe or not, you still bound by the laws of God. You still bound. You could be a dumb, deaf, blind, never know nothing about the word. You still bound by it.
Yes. I'm gonna tell you how strong it is. We having a powerful conversation about God, and I just heard from my cousin. I ain't heard from him in 10 years. I'm glad he's alive, but what's going on my mind is God's gonna move in his timing. So we might not understand today, but somebody's gonna talk to you tomorrow, talk to you next week, and everything we saying is gonna make sense.
Well, everything's happening for a reason. I told you this, that's what I was trying to say last night. Let's just get away from the politics of it. And do your magic, do your thing, and just watch the energy transform itself. And really, again, I didn't have any idea that I was going to be doing these shows again. I had actually gotten into a mindset where it's like, you know what, I'm better off just keeping it to myself, because I seem to get into conflict for arguments with folks, and I'm just not me right now. I can't do it. But
you got to realize what world you're in, man. People are going to hate on something good. They're going to hate 50,000 times before they say, ooh, this is really good. Most people, as artists, they don't want to tell other people your music is good because they are artists. They think about their individual self. But when you think about the whole world and the reality we live in, the world has changed. So the right now is the time to start promoting your music, marketing your music. Put yourself out there. There's more people in front of the computer than ever before. They're looking to see what you got, and the only way they're going to find out what you got is you let them know it's available. God is the same way. He's looking to see what are you going to do with these great things I gave you. I gave you faith. I gave you wisdom. Are you going to bury it all?
I gave you life.
Tell the world
I gave
about
you
it?
Life. I gave you
Come
life.
Come on now.
What are you going to do with the life I gave you?
Yes. Thing is all on you. But at the same time, you're not in control because once you don't show up, the party still won't go on. If you choose not to do it, God's not going to get mad. He's going to find somebody else.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. We're just hosts, and there's always another energy portal to move it forward. You know, we always say in the craft work that, you know, the body is nothing more than a living tomb because you're going to leave it and go somewhere else at some point if you're a believer, in which I do believe. We're just, this whole experience is not for naught. There is a higher plan. We may not know it till our final destiny, but those of us who believe that there is somewhere that light is moving well and beyond, that's why we say we travel. Because once it's over,
Amen.
It ain't over. It ain't over once it's over. It's still something more to do.
All right.
Well, I want to say this. I got to say it. Marty, I'm glad you're doing this show. I'm glad to be here on the initial show. I'm telling you, it's only going to get bigger and better because you're whirling from God. You didn't just have this idea. This has been, you've been kicking this around for 4 or 5 years. So now you walking in with your confidence of where you're supposed to be. I don't care if you talk to 40 people. They're going to tell you Marty's not gospel. But when you talk to Marty, he's going to break down the gospel to you. Now, it might seem like I'm saying some way off the mark stuff, but I'm telling you the truth. This is where you're supposed to be, Marty. You are in a higher plateau of God because you're doing what God told you to do, period.
I would have to agree with you there. I actually would use you as a symbol because you just seem to pop up when I least expect. Next thing you know, I got work to do. I got work to do. See, you like the guy knocking at the door. Is like, hey, you need to get up. Anybody in there? Get on up. We need to do it. We're doing a check. We're checking in. Get on up. Is there a Marty in there? I know him. And so, like I said, bro, you hit me two, three days ago. I'm like, man, I ain't heard from this brother in a minute. And I'm like, yeah, I respond back. So then I was sitting here and some said, you know what? I'm moving toward being angry. And so, let's get it off my chest and start the show. But I had no intentions, like I'm trying to be honest. I had no intentions of seeing it do what it's done. We haven't even been 24 hours because yesterday's show was at 11. So and it's been 24 hours, and I've had 20 people calling in. You know, I remember mm-hmm. a time where I may not have 20 people calling in a month of shows, and I was fine with that too. But what it's telling me is that folks is listening, and those of us, I don't like the term woke because you ain't really asleep anyway, but
Amen.
Some of us are aware. I like the term aware. Aware
yes,
of what's going on. So on that level, I would say, again, folks, I'm going to try to be here as often as I can. What I do is have archives available so you can download the show. I want some of y'all to get back into it and other shows or whatever. And maybe on the next one, Gospel Edition, come with something and we can sermonize on our own. and you can bring a bit of your perspective on the word. One of the things that me and Pastor Don didn't do, but we're doing it actually as we speak, and I chastised him a few years ago. I was like, bro, just get up on a Sunday and let's just go hard on the paint.
Hey, man. I remember that.
Remember that call.
Oh, God. I remember that call.
But you was like, I'm already doing something on Sunday. And I was like, man, there's enough Jesus to go around. So let's just get it done. Now, we didn't actually pull it off until today. But you know what?
Right.
I told somebody the other day, God got a plan even when you don't, Pastor Doug. Okay? Even when you doubtful, Brother Smith. I'm Brother Smith, by the way. God got a plan. So sometimes you just
one plant,
to
one
waters,
and God brings increase. That's the truth. One plant, one waters, but God brings increase. We all have a vision for a $1 billion society, but if we're not putting our vision out there, that society will never come to fruition.
Well, I said something that I don't normally say yesterday, and I just, once I got off the radio and listened, like I listen to everything that I record, because I'm listening as a producer, I want to make sure it's technically right. I want to make sure that the audible levels are right. If you're calling in, some of y'all is not calling in from city-type places. You may be remote somewhere out in Arizona or wherever, Chicago area, wherever you're calling from, Mississippi. So you don't have the signals in some of the repeaters that send your telephone signal right into my phone. So all these things that I'm worried about and concerned about with regard to production, because I am a tad bit of a perfectionist. However, they're insular. But one thing I did say, and I'm going to say it to all these folks listening, is that you and Reverend Green had said that ain't nobody really doing the kind of interactive shows that I'm doing. Now, I know Dr. Watkins, Boyce Watkins does his thing. I know, Willie D does his thing. And I actually have liked the way he's expanded his mindset into really, really being topic-oriented. Roland Martin, my frat brother, I know Roland from back when we was kids. I know what Roland Martin is doing and all of that old stuff. In fact, I probably will see him shortly because I have an Alpha Phi Alpha reunion coming up in January. However, the idea that the show or these shows or this concept was maybe a little bit more marketable was the issue that me and Pastor Don kind of settled in on last night. And so I said I just wanted to create at least 7 more shows, Marty Smith show, and 7 gospel shows, cut them up, package them, cut them up like a disc jockey or like a record, package them and send them off to, and I said send them off to CNN, Fox, Oprah, whoever, Tavis Smiley, whoever got a platform in which they can utilize my platform, because in many cases what they're doing is not what I'm doing, because I actually like getting so deep into these issues where it's kind of tearing you apart to say something and give me some more insight. And I, not so much arguing back and forth, but I think what we did yesterday and what we're doing today is just a tad different. I have not found a gospel show that does what I do. And I did steal some of my ideas to have a gospel show, but nobody was just playing and highlighting these ministers of a particular life. Now, I ain't just going to put any minister on my show.
Amen.
Not everybody
that's
claiming
true
to be a minister or a pastor or a reverend is actually on point. Okay, I'll tell you a little joke real quick. I told a brother at work, he had a very good spirit. I said, bro, whatever you do, don't forget you ain't going to get too far without Jesus. That's what I said. I said, bro, you would probably be one of the best ministers for these young folks. And I said, but I don't know you that well, and I have found that in ministry, it don't really work well if you ain't Listen, Pastor Don, if you ain't did enough sinning and repenting in your own life.
Amen.
So you need
there
to
you
have
go.
Something that you bring into the pulpit that you can actually say to those folks, I did that foolish shit. I did that ignorance. It didn't work. And let me tell you why this works. Let me tell you why the Gospel of Mark works. Let me tell you why Paul's message is an individual. Everybody is a Paul. You want to cut your finger and point your finger at this and cut the head off of this snake and that snake. Everybody, then you get up on the road to Damascus. That's that car that you was talking about, Pastor. That's that running that ball through the middle and getting hit to get that touchdown, sister. That's what that's about.
Amen. Amen. It takes a very special individual to realize God called you something bigger than yourself to accept the call and actually walk in that. We all are here to change
anybody,
the world. How? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, does anybody realize, or do we all realize, I don't know, that the time we're in now, and this might be a hard statement because I grew up with older Christian folks. They always say these are the last days. And I never thought that. I think these are continuing days. It may be our last day because some of us ain't going to be, you know, life ain't granted or given.
There you go.
We may die on the road to Damascus. But the point is, it's a continuum. There's no finality with the teaching of the word. Am I missing something?
No, you're not. And at the end of the day, when you think that you got it all together, God's going to revamp your whole plan. You got to work with other people. You got to get out there and talk.
That's when the running back get his ACL knocked out. that's when the airbags deploy.
You funny.
That's when the airbags deploy and you end up really hurting yourself because you can't see nothing.
Right. I ask God every day, give me the strength to accept your blessing while I'm in a right state of mind, right frame of mind, where I can appreciate it. It's not just getting the blessing, it's knowing where it came from.
Right.
Not everybody
right.
has the opportunity to crack a radio show, but you already got an audience. I bring more audience to your audience.
You used to say that all the time. You used to get on the show and be like, Marty, this platform, you got a platform, the platform, the platform, the platform. You got a platform. And I'm like, platform, smackform. I give a damn about platform. I'm over here running my mouth. I was on running my mouth and trying to be silly, funny, and whatever, and entertaining and logistical and bring you to a point because that was always my title. I want cogent discussion. But, you know, I get the power of the platform now. I didn't understand it then. I get it now because it's more like not a burden to do it anymore. Like I said, I had just happened to look at my statement, and I paid like $40 a month to have this two-hour show. And I had not done a show for $400 worth of shows. So that's like a lot, right? So some said, well, you're paying for it, get back on the air. But more importantly, it's Pastor Don with this. You got a platform and a platform for this, and you need to do this. You know, a lot of people don't come at me like that. Do what you do. But that's because you Pastor Don, Junior CEO.
Get in here. Call it over here.
Anybody got something to say?
I just want to say.
Go ahead.
I want to say before I left it, I enjoyed. Yeah, I just enjoyed. And I will maybe talk to you guys later. I hope this is Shelby from Mississippi. I listened. I didn't say much, but I enjoyed. But my duties as a mama called
to me. Hold on. Before you go, because I know you can sing, can you give them a little taste of what they're going to have to come? A little taste. Anything.
Okay, I'll give y'all a little bit of my little chuck-a-con, Funny Valentine. because I tell them every day is Valentine, not just February the 14th, okay? My funny Valentine, sweet funny Valentine, you make me smile with my heart. Mm-hmm. Your looks are laughable. Unphotographable, yet you're my favorite work of art. Is your figure less than Greek? Is your mouth a little bit weak when you open it to speak? Are you smiling?
Amen.
Don't, baby, don't you change no half for me. Not if you care for me. Stay, stay, little Valentine. Valentine, each day is Valentine's day.
That's what I bring.
I'm sitting here looking at my Yamaha keyboard. I was about to turn it on and get with you, but I think that we got work to do. We got work to do. I'm sitting over here on so many, you know me, Pastor Don, I produce tracks, so I got open tracks. You can have them.
Come on now.
You can have them.
Marty,
so,
the world's missing you. You had to go back live. The world is missing you. There's so many artists that need a home. And Shelby B is going to be the queen. She's the queen of soul music. We got to make it happen. We got to work together.
I don't see any. Let me make sure. You're 248, right? Where's you? Where are you, Shelby?
Shelby, I'm 601.
601. Okay,
601.
I'm looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
601. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Write that number down, man.
I already got it.
Man, she's going to do major numbers. She's my artist. She's a mother. She gets up in the morning, take her wife, everything. And when I say her wife, I'm saying, like, for me, because I'm a man, take care of your everyday business like your wife. So that's what she do. She teaches me. She take care of business. I'm telling you, she got a lot more, and the recorded stuff is amazing. You will be shocked.
I wouldn't be shocked because I know talent, and I can just feel her energy. She sat back, and you know what we used to say? I used to live in Oakland for a long time, and we used to say, you know what, young man, before you come up to Oakland and get in the game, you need to peep game. If you peep game, you might get in it. So she sat back, peeped the game, and then blessed us, and I really want to accommodate because I never thought about this, just having a live vocalist on a radio show. I mean, who does that? They used to do it way back in the vaudeville days, but nobody's doing that
anymore.
Come on. So
my
ideas
soul got
abound,
what you were singing.
Opportunity abounds. I told you, take seven shows, cut them up, and sell them to Oprah Winfrey Mama. I could give a hoot. I could care less. Okay.
I will write all the paperwork and make sure she signed the contract.
I told you that there is a Bentley waiting for you. You just got to get in the groove, bro. So I don't
That's
even
it.
Know what I can say. She just blew me away. I think the only thing that I could actually, you sound you just, you know, I'm listening to the song and I'm like, I'm singing. I actually was singing my funny Valentine, which is very similar. And you know, I'm just moved, man. I'm moved. I didn't expect none of this.
I'm
just
glad
you are.
Think about me like
what?
This. Think about me like this, DJ Black Series. I'm going to tell you like this. This is the truth. I'm like the little old lady that's out in the mall in front of the Chinaman with samples. All you got to do is take a bite. You're going to get your whole plate in 10 minutes. I promise you. All you need is a sample, and you will get your whole plate. I just got to put it in front of you. That's my job. All I do is put it in front of people, and they buy into it, and they run. That's it. That's all you need.
Sounds like a plan, brother. It sounds like a plan. You know what, folks?
Amen.
This show was scheduled to go to 11, but I believe that we're on a good energy peak, and I don't necessarily need to do much more. I can't regurgitate it, but I would do
Amen.
This because I want to end on even a higher musical note. Not that I could beat what just happened. I don't know if we could get better than that. I'm blown away because I didn't expect that. You know, you always catching me off guard with something.
Come
and
on
that's
now.
A good test for
that's
me.
My job.
That's a good test for me. That keeps me what we used to say. We call it steadfast. Keeps me steadfast. Only. Her voice was so good. I only know one singer that could actually probably be in her realm or y'all realm. So let's
wow.
see if this female can even rest in peace. I know she can come close, but I don't know if she could do what I just heard. So, but you know what? It's holy, holy. And y'all can sing along.
Oh. Can't you see us coming together?
Moving and grooving with the love.
Amen, folks. I really appreciate that little blessing from both of you sisters singing. That actually, if I had to do a gospel party, I would DJ just like that. You come on first, and then
amen.
Lisa. Let me read something really.
Marty, yes. I got a surprise for you. Read what you got to read, but I got a surprise for you. She's a beast. I got a surprise for you. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay, I'm going to read from Dr. Charles Stanley, a minister who wrote a book called Walking Wisely. And this is on page 149. It says, avoid the person who is a fool. We tend to think of fools as being silly or frivolous people. The Bible takes a much more serious approach. A fool is a person who has arrogantly chosen his own way over God's way. Hello. He has pushed God out of his life. He has refused all discretion, discernment, or wisdom that God's word offers. Fools are described in the book of Proverbs as being deceitful and slanderous, Proverbs 10:18. They laugh at sin, Proverbs 14:9. A fool regards wisdom as being too lofty, Proverbs 1:7. A fool shuns wisdom and pursues his own folly.
Amen, amen, amen. I love that. That was a powerful scripture. And I want to make sure she gets a chance to speak. Sarah Steele, she's a major philanthropist. She helps a lot of powerful women become more powerful. And I want to make sure you get to speak on your show. So I personally brought her in. I'm introduced to her. I want her to tell her own story. But remember, I'm the one who brought her to you. That's a two-way.
Well, with that intro,
open on.
With that intro, the mic is hers.
So much. I've been here for a moment. I'm the 248. I was just doing things around the house and listening in. But when you put Aretha on, because I'm from Detroit, I live in Detroit, so I live outside of Detroit.
Wow.
I'm from Detroit. Before you didn't even have to say the name. I'm like, oh, that's my homegirl. So I just want to say thank you, Grace, for your being here. Of course, being a woman of faith, and thank you for that amazing introduction. I appreciate you as always. Been very, very, very busy, but I just want to say, it's, you know, just listening in, it's been a treat today to just listen in. Yes, I'm just here, you know, I'm for all entrepreneurs, but my heart is always compelled for women entrepreneurs because we're scaling and a lot of us are doing it alone in the home. So I try to position those who are ready to receive to be able to, whatever that is they're doing, their business or their brand, to another level through our passive income, through our different things of building their business credit, their personal credit, getting the marketing on my television show. So things, I just try to position them in my magazine. So I'm just here to help all entrepreneurs, but I'm really big on passive income because that doesn't require you, as you were saying, that doesn't require you to work, meaning that the income is going to work for you even while you sleep. And a lot of people, our people are not aware of that because we just have not been taught. So I'm just here listening on this Sunday. And just being blessed by Course Aretha, that's just like, I was over here, had little tears in my eyes. So I thank
Amen.
You for saying that. just being from Detroit, as I always say to 313, it's just amazing that we get our recognition. Detroit is on the rise. As you see, we have a lot of shows on BET. We have Big 50, Personal Friend. We have BMF. We have Dr. Missy on BET. She has a documentary about women surviving cancer. So she, me and her are going to collaborate for me to be in her book. So Detroit is doing a lot of things. So if you haven't watched those programs, please stay, watch them because we always get a bad image, but it shows who we are. And I'm looking to be on Netflix soon. So I appreciate you just bringing me in to say a little word. So I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, come on now, Shelby. Come on
Thank
now.
You.
You know how I feel about you. I love you. You came to me for a minute, Harold Riley, A-Sub, shout out. You are the epitome of what women's supposed to be doing out of the industry. Please give us your contact information, how they can reach you, where they can find you. It's very important because some people want to hear it, but they don't get it. But they'll call you on your own so you can have a personal conversation with them.
Okay, well, my business line, you'll call me or text me on that line. It's area code 248-781-0067. That's 248-781-0067. I can be found on Facebook at hashtag business girlfriends or just business girlfriends. I have a community, a business page. And on Instagram, I'm business girlfriend 313. So I'm on LinkedIn. My name, Sharon, is spelled with a Y instead of an O. So, and my last name is Steele. So you can be, I can be, and you can Google me. You can just Google me. I come up there too. So you can just Google me with a Y or an O. So either way, I'll come up. But once again, that number is 248-781-0067. I'm doing a Zoom tonight on our passive income. I recently really got involved in it, and my mentor, he tells me not to say that, but to me he is. He's been in for about 11 months, and now he's at $4 million. And I'm headed there because I decided to jump in. And it's definitely, when I say passive, I like to say it's a savings program that your income increases 3 times, and everyone needs a savings. There's not one person that's listening to the sound of my voice that does not need to have any type of income on reserve. Everyone needs an income on reserve. You should have 6 to 12 months of salary put away, but a lot of us can't because we're not positioned or wasn't taught, and it doesn't mean it's a bad person, but once you hear it, you're going to be held accountable. So if you're listening, then you're going to be held accountable. Now you know that you need to have a savings account, and a lot of us don't. So that's what I teach on and how we passively grow our savings account. No recruiting, no selling, no products, none of those shenanigans, no potions, no lotions, no teas. And not that I'm against any of those things, but that is not this. It's just a savings. If you understand what a savings account is, you'll understand this. We just grow it 3 times the amount quickly. So,
this is my family, bro. She in her own show. She needs a whole 2-hour block. And her own show, so she can really break it down. She gave you the that's a little sample in front of the gentleman. But you need
a whole show.
You need a whole show.
If you want to
Zoom,
please, just text me.
That's
and I'll
easy
Zoom
to do.
Link. Yeah, just text me. It's 8 p.m. Eastern time. It's a free Zoom, but just get in. And I tell people, you know, the only thing that's stopping you is you. Because, as I said, I got in.
Amen.
I got in probably about less than 30 days ago, and I'm almost at 40,000. And that's really unheard of. It's like the best – the people that – they were having a major event in Miami, and the people that's on this platform, we have Akon, we have Damon Wayne, we have some major players in this program. But, see, the people in a wealth circle only share within the wealth circle. But I'm the type of person
Amen.
That's like,
barrier to entry.
Yeah, but I'm like Robin Hood. I'm going to go take back to my people, you know. So if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. But you can never say that God didn't come and give you a word to help you get out.
Amen.
It's whether you believe it or not.
If I may ask, what is a business term, if you can actually say, I know you need folks to call in, but what are the typical barriers to entry? That typically means how much am I going to have to put up to get in the circle?
Yeah, just like a savings account, there is a minimum requirement to put into your account, and you have access to it daily. That minimum is 300, but as soon as you place it in, you go to 900, and then we show you based on that. But just give you an example on that 300. You have access to every day, but I tell people a savings. So you have to be in the mindset of a savings. I tell you never to put in what you can't afford, but there is a minimum, which is 300. But that 300 will yield you about almost 12,000 in about 18 months. But you have access to it every day. But if you
In fact, you are in alignment with some of what I was saying. I was spending 300 on DoorDash and food.
I do that every day. I literally, so, I can say, just my daughter is right now.
I decided I wasn't going to do that. I decided I was going to invest all that 300 for the last 2 months into cryptocurrency. And I'm glad I did.
So you're on the same page. This is not crypto, but this is, let me say this, because that's how I obtained my wealth with crypto. I cashed out a Bentley with crypto. So cryptocurrency is real. A lot of people don't want to believe it, but it's real. And I am a perfect. Just my story.
And we're
going to
do a whole show. We're going to do a show on that, ma'am, and bring those folks, our folks, into this simplicity.
Yeah, they,
Bitcoin
our people
is
are still
not
calling.
Done.
Yeah, the people
Bitcoin
are still calling
ain't done.
Yep, it's. But let me say this. On our platform, not speaking on our savings program, it's even more powerful than that because our platform is based off of the blockchain. The blockchain is a security system for all digital currency, so it doesn't go up and down. It's not volatile like cryptocurrency or the stock market or any other market because it's solid. So the billionaires, these three billionaires that are Asian descent started it, they just moved it over to Dubai, kind of as a communist state. But it's on the blockchain, so they have other bits. They don't need our money. See, this is why I got involved with it, because they don't need our money because they're already billionaires. I tell people, how many millions do you really think it takes to be a billionaire? It's three billionaires. So they're in the room. They are the ones that move the market. Like when they say something, the whole market moves. So this platform is like, I'm just thankful that I was able to be in the room at the right time to be able, and then open-minded, not just, I don't believe.
That's key.
Of course I did sense, but the point is it's based on the blockchain. Like people didn't believe in Bitcoins, but I go every day to my garage and look at my Bentley. Okay, y'all don't believe,
Amen.
But this car. Now listen, I don't have, and I'm not against a car note, but I don't even have a car note.
I'm not with car notes. I'm not with none of that. I'm with straight cash purchases like they do. I want to be. If I got to play the game, I want to play it like the billionaire that's going in to the Bentley dealer that's buying the cash. I want to go to Louis Vuitton buy cash. I want to go to Fat Burgers and not use a debit card. I'm just cash. And ain't nothing wrong with it.
You are definitely
one of the questions I have, one of the quick questions for the listeners, and I see we got someone from California here too, actually L.A., about to put you on. But hold on, I had a question. If you cannot make the Zoom, is there any other way we can get the information or text you
when you text me, if you can't make the Zoom, what I do is set up a 1-800 call, but I like to say I like four or five people on the call, and I'll just do a call at y'all.
What are you doing tomorrow, 11:30 a.m.? What are you doing tomorrow, 11:30
okay.
a.m.?
Okay,
we
can have another show tomorrow, 11:30 a.m. We just do the Marty Smith show, and it's going to be your show.
I should be open tomorrow at 11. Text me.
Well,
make
you
sure
don't have to fill up the whole. Well, you
don't
have to fill up the whole.
You say you're doing a show.
Give us
I will
more
be there
information.
With my people.
Yeah. We'll get it done. So I'm going to set up 11:30 tomorrow, Marty Smith show. And I needed to actually, I did a series on investing in cryptocurrency 2 years ago. And then, again, I fell off and I didn't. And then I went back to my Coinbase and blockchain accounts, and they were still there and had accrued interest and money. And now my mindset is
more different because if you didn't know, back in the 90s when I was on that pimp train and that hip-hop train, all I did was day trader. I did that for years. I didn't work. So I already know.
Oh, wow.
It's all in your mind, and you need to know how markets shift and fluctuate. Anything associated with viable blockchain is probably going to be long-standing, and looking at just your return on investment on a 300, you're talking like 200 or 300%.
Absolutely. Like
your market rate of return in a bank account is only, what, 7% to 18% interest, if you can get it. So I already know
these would have come to them dollars. He know how to get them dollars.
You're in 18 months, you're only going to get about $10. Now, listen, our sweet spot, and I'm not telling the one they have to do, but our sweet spot, example, we come in with $10,000, and that's what I did. In 18 months, I got $400,000. But because the way I'm moving, already capitalizing the system much more because the way I'm moving. So if I didn't talk to one person, just put my money in, and I have access to it every day, but I allow it to sit for 18 months, you can't do that. No.
But here's the thing.
And this is,
here's the thing. I'm going to be 60 years old in 2.5 years, knock on wood. So anything I'm doing now is just a retirement account. I think I can look away at 300, 600 bucks, and just if it's going to accrue me that type of interest and it's got that much power in a marketplace, as well as you are coalescing African-American monies into
Marty.
A centralized network.
No. This is a real situation. Anybody on the sound of my voice would never have heard this information had it not gone on the radio. If you'd have your radio show live, you wouldn't be available to recognize how powerful this queen is. That's what I want people to realize.
Like I said, we're gonna reconvene in the morning. In the morning, and even if I don't reconvene, I will be texting her for my own personal edification. I hope you
there
listen.
You go.
323, I see you. 323-620. To chime in on this conversation if you got something to say. Now we got 773. So people was calling in.
Oh,
I guess,
Reverend Green.
You know,
773, that's Reverend Green. Open his line. That's Reverend Green. Open his line.
Reverend Green, where you at?
Yeah, I'm right here,
This has been a very good conversation.
Amen. Good morning,
you,
Reverend.
God bless you, Doc. How you feel, Dr. Don?
I feel good, man. You set me on fire yesterday. I got electric. I started texting everybody.
You set us both on fire to the point that we almost put ourselves out. So now we're back.
Right. And that was Cherry Stone. I don't know if you heard her, but she's a beast. I'm going to put you on the phone with her later on today. She's somebody you need to know. She's connected globally. But Reverend, you got to go. I'll move out of the way.
God bless you, man.
All right,
thank you,
Green,
man. I give God the glory, man, on everything, man. I just got in from church, going there to give him humble thanks, man, for being here another day. You know, it's a beautiful thing that God allowed us to come together on this network format so that we can help illustrate to folks the necessity of us becoming one in unity, not on a religious base. It's not about religion, man. It's about the Creator. All individuals that believe in the Creator, believe in God, we have a job to do. And the job for us to do, man, is to start doing work. We have to start doing work. We can't continue to pray and ask God to fix problems that's right in front of us. Yeah. We had a problem with Corona. You guys know last year we had Corona. It jumped out on us. It was a demon. It was a spirit. God handling that business. He gave the doctors the wisdom to make up vaccines. He bought that one off for us. So he's whooping that demon. But the problem that's in front of us, that's the homeless folks. That's the folks on the streets. That's those that don't have food to eat. That's those shooting each other on the streets, the young men with no direction. That's our responsibility. And we all have the tools to handle and resolve that, man. We have hands, we have feet, we have minds, we have everything that we need to handle that problem, but yet we continue to ask God, would you come down here to earth and fix a problem that's right in front of us? Ridiculous. God has fought off everything that we can't see, from cancer to corona to pneumonia, all of these diseases that came in the form of diseases and the enemy's attacks to destroy us. God fought all of them off. But he like, man, can y'all do something? Yeah, with the gift of life I gave y'all. Yeah, besides constantly contact him and beg and plead, Lord, help, Lord. What, are we helpless? No, no, God made us in his image. Each one of us have God in us because we breathe the breath of life. So it should be an incentive in us. Man, help somebody that's worse off than you. That's what it's about. That's what it's about, man. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Put yourself in the other man's shoes. Realize that man's disposition could be you. Matter of fact, I'll get deep with it. It was me. Yeah, I was homeless. I was on the street 27 years, drugs, 9 years in the penitentiary. That other guy was me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when I see a guy on the side of the road and he got a sign up saying, man down, I'm hurting, man, I go in my pocket because I realize that could be me. Yeah. And how would I want people to do if it was me holding the sign? Would I want you to blow the horn and tell me to get the hell out of the way? Or would I want you to do something? If I got a sign, man, I'm telling you, hey, y'all, I'm in trouble down here. I need some help. Somebody, somebody. He ride by. I guess that doesn't affect the very heart of God. That man, he loves them just as much as us because he breathes the same air as we do. We all share the same air, the breath of life. That means that God loves them just as much as he loves them. It's for us to remember that, man. Love your neighbor as yourself. Today, Sunday, Sunday, the day that we honor God. Man, go out there when you see somebody and come a blessing. Share some of your life with them. Share something you have. Monetary is a blessing. You can give them money. We don't give a damn what they do with the money. The blessing is you give it. And being concerned and compassionate like Jesus was when he was compassionate for us. And that he so much loved us so much that he went to the cross and gave it. So we should be honored for an opportunity to help somebody. So that's my thing today, man. Love your neighbor as yourself. Spread the love. And remember, we can't lose with the God we use if we use the God of love. God bless you, man.
Amen.
I'm still here.
Amen, bro. Amen. I appreciate all
powerful
of
word.
You. And you.
Powerful word.
You actually you answered the question that I raised earlier.
Close the show. We done.
Yeah, we're about to be done. And we're going to be done on this point because, Reverend Green, you just answered a question. I asked my audience a theological question. Pastor Don came probably about, he got a beat. So the end of the question was, it started with, how does a tree give honor to God? How does a lion give honor to God? How does a non-believer give honor to God? Pastor Don said he can't because he doesn't believe. The actual answer to that is what you just said. By being human, we all, I don't care if you ever seen a Bible, if you're a human, there is another human that has the same needs as you. Need to eat, shelter. If he got his hand out, he needs to be fed. Just by being human, you give honor to God. However, the highest honor would be those, certainly, Pastor Dunn, of those who accept Christ and God in his heart. With that, I don't know what else I'm going to say other than thank you all. It's been a great day for me. It's been a great day for y'all. And everybody here, remember, all of these programs, you can go back into that little old URL that and download, and we will do that, okay, folks?
Okay, bro, I gotta say this, man. I give you honor live on your radio network. You've grown so much in the spirit. You've grown so much as the radio host, and you've grown so much as a man. I'm just thanking God that you in position to realize his blessings he's put on your life. You are going to open the door for so many individuals that never had a chance. They ain't going to hear your
That's
show,
right.
And they going to go. That's priceless. You can't be.
I appreciate that.
Beauty.
I appreciate that. Let me just say this also. I see my L.A. caller 323. Is there anything you'd like to share?
Do you have me open? Can you hear me?
Well, we're all on the air. It's about five of us and then a million people that we don't see.
Okay. No, I'm just asking if you can hear me because I didn't know you were talking to me.
Yeah,
I'm the only Californian to speak. Yes. Well, what I just heard from the pastor that just spoke, that's very true. You really need to know who you are. If you are a child of God, then you will do all the things of giving and knowing that you are here for a purpose to serve and it's not about you. So with that said, you know, Jesus walked amongst the community. He fed, clothed, prayed, and all sorts. We need to do the same, even in our ministry. We have a lot of ministers that are taking than as opposed to giving back or improving on people. So my point of it is that I appreciate each and every one of you that is on here that is speaking about that. We should not be talkers. We should be walkers if you happen to be talking to a walker. So we can preach all day long, and we can march all day long, but if you're not doing the actual work, we will never accomplish anything as a people.
Reverend Green, you got another follower right there, 323-620. I'm with it. She is on point.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I don't know why Pastor Don believe in me so much and keep propping me up. But whatever. He like he got a
Pastor Don. See, I'm
Pastor
on
Don
here because of him. He knows who I am. I'm one of your oldest community activists that you have, especially in the world of hip hop. So, you know, those who are about hip hop, which is higher in the power of helping and healing our people, than what you're seeing on TV in the music world, does the work.
Amen. Hey, by the way, did y'all know General Jeff Pass, who was out here, the homeless, talking about hip-hop in the streets, and he was a homeless advocate. He was always on KPFA with the homeless
and
before.
He passed. It's a very huge loss because that was my brother. My soldier had passed away yesterday afternoon. It is a terrible loss that we have in the city of Los Angeles because in every way, not only did he walk it, he lived it. He chose to be homeless, to represent the homeless of Skid Row.
Mm.
And now that we lost him, which I'm working on, I started with him and I branched out to doing other things. You guys are talking to Silky D. That's who you're talking to.
Hey, she's the first female DJ in hip hop, the first female DJ. Forget about Cinderella and all that. Everybody came up under her tutelage back in the day before it was DJing. For real.
He's telling
the
truth.
This is the first female DJ. She's hip hop royalty. Period.
I've been an activist since I've been a teenager. I started at the end of the Black Panthers to being a real G, because real Gs have codes and principles. We don't kill women, kids, or disrespect women. Or terrorize our neighborhoods. We took on the principles. Everybody want to know where gang banging came from. We took on the principles of the Black Panthers, the Browns, and the Red Berets. That's where it did. But when we got filtrated with crack, and all that kind of stuff, that's where you got the terrorism of gang banging. So with that said, that turned into underground hip-hop for those who continue that message from God, and that's how you got hip-hop, that hiring and empowering, helping and healing our people. That is the real purpose of the culture of hip-hop. And General Jeff, one of my biggest soldiers, he's the Three Musketeers was Jimbo. Jimbo was the actual son of a Black Panther. General Jeff was an artist in the hip-hop world, and he chose to not be an artist anymore and represent Skid Row in his activism. I came with him and branched out to do the rest of the community while he stayed in downtown. So I'm the only one left.
A lot of folks don't
I'm
know
playing.
That. A lot of folks don't know he was a prolific hip-hop artist, a rapper. I actually was backstage with him. I have hip-hop credentials myself. But I was backstage with him. And then he dropped out the whole thing. And actually, that was one of the wisest things he did, because the way the game was going back then, you know how it all went. We know how the story goes.
Right. I dropped out for a few, and they brought me back to bring the West Coast back together after the Suge Knight days. I know what you're talking about. And this is where we all come together now. This is where we are now. And with Jeff passing, who has, affected us greatly, I would just say that you'll probably see more positivity out of it. I'm working on a park to be in his name, as well as a mural being tribute right there in downtown for the family of Skid Row. It's a huge, huge loss, because he was the one that got all the programs for the homeless. It's a huge, huge loss for the community. I'll just say that. I'm going to get off because I'm going to break down. But I appreciate everyone encouraging and enlightening. But I'm asking to not just encourage or enlighten. I'm asking you to do the work as well, to be the example.
Amen.
And this is where I stand on that. I appreciate you guys, and peace and blessings. A great, great, great show. And thank you, Pastor Don Julian Green. I appreciate you, and I love you more. Peace.
Well, we appreciate you, and break down in peace, and it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to say this. It all goes back to Pastor Don. I don't know what has touched his heart, but he wants to keep believing in us, not just me. And I have seen, as he's told me, his change in his maturation in the faith, and more importantly, his discipline for production. We're going to talk about platforms, but they still got to be produced. You still got to have some arrangement. You still got to engage folk. And I'm very good, whether I'm on the phone or in a 16-track, 130-track recording studio, I get the same results. I want to say this, and as we say in hip-hop, I'm going to end mine. Thank you all, and remember the lyrics of this song. Thank you.
Oh, there was a woman in the Bible day. She had been sick. Sick so very long, but she heard my Jesus was passing by, so she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, "What are you trying to do?" She said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." She cried, "Oh, and oh, and oh, and oh, and oh." Said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." And oh, she spent her money here and there until she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see, but still he turned around and cried, "Somebody touch me." She said, "It was I who just want to touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now." She stood there crying, "Oh,
Thank you all for listening. Gospel Edition has ended.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen.